Morning, brethren. This is going to be, for those of you who have probably been following along, I did a four-part series, or this is part four of a four-part series on Proverbs, just the different wisdom of Proverbs. Part one was on character. Part two was our relationship with God. Part three was our relationship with others. Today, we're going to talk about our words. I'll give the disclaimer again. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap in this, but there's just so much in Proverbs, and this is, again, one of the categories, and our words are very important. If you will please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 6. Proverbs 12, verse 6. And this first, we're going to kind of cover categories here. And this category is the power of our words. Proverbs 12, 6. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Again, just to reinforce, a lot of what these are contrasts. God does a lot of contrast between good and bad, evil and good. Jump down with me to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And once again, here we have the contrast of the idea of controlling your words. We're going to talk a little bit more a little later. The idea of using our words in a controlled manner, in a soft manner, not in an evil manner, not in foolishness, not in just talking about anything that comes to mind. A lot of we talk about at times our mental filter. Some of us have a much better mental filter than others. Some people, just whatever comes to mind, that's what they say, and they don't really care. They don't consider the consequences of what they say. Jump on down with me to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, and this is, again, God talks about, in a sense, how truly important and powerful in that literally, Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And the second part will eat its fruit. Basically, what that means with is they will deal with the consequences of their words. But literally, we know that, or we're told here, that our words can literally cause death. And that may sound extreme, but we can even talk about now social media is a good example of that. They talk about bullying on social media, and people, their words actually cause, there are people who get so upset being bullied online, they commit suicide. So we really do have examples of the fact that our words, what we do toward others, can have serious consequences to the point of causing death, in this case, in the form of suicide. But there are other ways that you can cause misunderstandings, people kill one another. So we have all kinds of ways that we, if we use our words in an improper manner, the consequences can be truly deadly. jump on down with me to Proverbs 29. Once again, talking about what can happen as the result of your words. Proverbs 29, verse 8. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. And we even have examples of that as far as we see protests that get out of hand and where people really do cause destruction, where they really do burn down a city, riot, and cause a lot of destruction. So we have specific examples of these things. This truly is not just idle. And it's not exaggeration. We can see how words are that powerful. We talk about the idea of, we'll call it the limitation of our words. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to begin reading in verse 23. Proverbs 24, 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. So the idea of, at times, not spending time wasting our words, but working, getting things done. Please turn with me down to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. So again, this we're talking about having evil intentions and yet hiding those evil intentions within lies, by covering it up, by trying to make it look good, by trying to say things that sound good and yet are incredibly misleading. Please turn with me to on down now to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Once again, we're talking. This talks about how our words are perceived and taken sometimes. Proverbs 29, verse 19. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. So we see sometimes, and again, this is, call it an attitude toward our words, where even when we are corrected and or told what to do, we essentially choose to ignore it. So this kind of pointing out, sometimes we need more than just our words. People need to be directed in stronger terms. Verse 20 on the following of that, it says, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And next, we're going to talk about honesty, being honest in our words. Please turn with me back to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We're going to begin reading in Proverbs 12. Pardon me, Proverbs 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. So again, another contrast. Please turn and then jump down to Proverbs 16. We're going to read verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. So, honesty. Please turn with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Christ basically kind of reinforces this. This is just one place where he reinforces that. Matthew 35, we're going to begin reading. I'm sorry, Matthew 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 33. Again, you have heard it said that those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So again, here we have Christ reinforcing in a little bit of detail about the idea of being honest. And we also have the commandment of Exodus 20:16, flat out, you shall not bear false witness. Essentially, you shouldn't lie, so you be honest. We talk about also using few words, being not only concise, but the idea that we don't need to go on and on about something. We can be very concise about our words. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to read verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So again, the idea of few words, being concise, not having to use a lot of words, and even confuse an issue. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. We're going to be talking, we're going to talk about being boastful. Again, an example of being more proud of yourself than you need to be. Proverbs chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So basically the idea, don't be boastful. Don't play your own self up. That is one of the things that Jesus got after the Pharisees for. Just being boastful about how religious, how pious they were. And then jump down to Proverbs, or back to 25:14. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. So this idea of not only boasting, but basically boasting about a lie, talking about how you've given, how you've probably sacrificed, given to the poor or something, and you haven't even really done it. So basically, a lie. Please turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So basically just continuing to reinforce that we can do a lot of damage by the things that we say. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt and fresh. And then please drop on down to James 4. James 4. James did cover a lot of this kind of idea also. James 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, again, in different places, God includes these things as far as we, like I said, I'm pulling together just the different ways that mankind uses his words, and we're given much more the idea of how mankind is using them negatively. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 4. Proverbs 17, verse 4. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. And then jump down to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Here's how God addresses us. Again, the idea of even using discretion in our words towards someone else, to someone who is using their words foolishly. It's interesting how God contrasts it both ways. In other words, showing us we need to use discretion. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. So again, we're told first, don't answer a fool toward his folly. And yet, verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So here we have the idea of actually using discretion on how we answer someone who speaks foolishly. So this is what we're given. The idea of we need to always think about how we will answer someone, or choose to be silent and just leave something be. Please turn with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. So again, this is kind of a follow-on to the same thing, the idea of sometimes you just simply cannot deal with someone who is being foolish. In other words, there's no correcting them. They're going to go their way, and you just have to use your discretion on how you handle what they say. Now we're going to talk about slander. And again, here's another thing. Right back to the fools and the way people talk and the words that they use. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So again, the idea of we may hear things, and a talebearer will either tend to spread and or even start things. And we're warned not to do that, that that is not the right way to conduct ourselves. Please jump down to chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. And then back to chapter 10 in Proverbs, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. So again, we get these multiple warnings. We get each of these categories covered in more than one way. Jump back to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to the inmost body. So again, we see these things happening. We probably every one of us gets caught up in things at times as we're repeating information that ought not be repeated and ultimately causes problems. Now let's talk about the idea, some more of the positives of our words. Please turn with me to Proverbs 15. We're going to talk about the idea of being calm in our words. Proverbs 15, beginning in verse 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. So the idea of thinking about things that you hear and answering in a calm manner. And then drop down to verse 28 in Proverbs 15. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. So again, what I mentioned earlier, it mentions more than once the idea of showing discretion, of thinking about how you're going to answer, of having your own mental filter. Please drop down to Proverbs 17. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. So again, here we have the idea of if you keep your mouth shut, even at that, you'll be thought wise. Many a time, saying nothing is the wiser course. Please jump down with me to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 15. By lying forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. So again, the idea of presenting things in a calm manner, and yet it talks about the power of these things. Now we're going to talk about the idea of our words being timely. Please, we're in chapter 25 of Proverbs. Please just jump down to verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. So the idea of being timely, maybe even one of those things, the idea of being complimentary to one another. When you see somebody doing something positive, when you see something, compliment them on it. Just like we have the Rose Awards, where we look for what people are doing and we reinforce. So the idea of, in a timely manner, we reinforce the positive. Please turn with me to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. So here we have, in a sense, being positive, but also the idea of being able to rebuke, to correct with our words, to correct in a proper manner. Now we're going to talk about the idea of what we call either heart or character, and we did cover, again, character as the first part of this section on Proverbs, but this can be expressed through our words. Proverbs 4, we're going to read verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. So once again, the idea of using proper character, using wise character. Jesus Christ covers this also. If you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So, once again, like I said, I'm going mainly in Proverbs, and yet we do have throughout God's word these other examples. Here is something by Jesus Christ, and this was Jesus Christ addressing the Pharisees. So he was literally telling them that they weren't using their words properly. So he literally was condemning the Pharisees for the way they conducted themselves, for the way the words that they used. Okay, now we're going to kind of do a contrast as far as the idea of being positive. Please turn back with me to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. We're going to begin reading in verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And then jump down to 13. We're going to read verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. So the idea of applying wisdom in our words, being positive in our words. Now let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, chapter 8. And this I've quoted before. This is actually one of my favorite scriptures. The idea of God, through Paul, giving us the baseline of how to talk and really what to look for. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So again, you've heard me say before, it's just another reinforcement of the idea of being positive. We should be looking for the positive, presenting the positive in all that we do. Now we're going to take the flip side. In Proverbs, we also address essentially the flip side, the idea of being negative. Please turn with me back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, we're going to read verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And then back to Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So, once again, the idea of negative, being negative, negative words are being condemned here. Then in chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse 20, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. So, again, and we know that we're told to honor our father and our mother. So, again, he talks about this. Obviously, we get these warnings because these things are being done. People are doing these things. We know that our human nature just still, that combined with Satan, the prince of the power of the air, we tend toward the negative. We really have to work to make our words positive, to keep ourselves aimed in a positive direction. Please turn with me to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, we're going to begin reading in verse 24. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So again, the destructiveness of negative talk. And it doesn't have to be really bad stuff. The idea of any negative feeds upon itself. Negative feeds upon negative, positive feeds upon positive. So we keep it positive. We keep the feed positive. Again, we're going to see some more words of Christ on this. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 21. So again, this is Jesus talking essentially about our words. Matthew 5:21. You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So here we have Christ even kind of puts it in tiers. And the idea of saying, you fool, is one level of badness, if you will. And the idea, Raca being one thing, and then you fool, the way they translate it here, is an even stronger word. So it talks about the idea of what you say to people, how you condemn others. Please turn with me, as far as we're still in Matthew, go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, once again, Christ's words, woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. So once again, the idea of the people who are speaking badly are the ones who will be in danger of losing life. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 29. Ephesians 4:29. So this comes from Paul. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So, again, we have Jesus addressing this after we address it, the main idea in Proverbs, but yet we have Jesus address it. Paul is used to address it. So we get it from various places. Please turn with me to James 4. James also addresses it. We've already covered a couple of scriptures in James on this. James chapter 4 and verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus. Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So again, the idea of our words being positive and literally reflecting upon God. We're going to talk about the idea of our companions, the people we hang out with, and how that affects our words. Please turn back with me to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, we're going to read verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And we hear a lot of that throughout our lives. You know, you talk about people falling in with the wrong group. Even talk about somebody who we feel maybe was a good person, a good kid, who fell in with the wrong group. And they get in just as much trouble. So the idea of stay with the positive. Be with people who are positive. Be with people who are of like mind. Here at church, especially in Holy Convocation, we should be being of positive mind with one another. And when we're in the world, obviously we need to avoid the negative. We need to avoid getting caught up with the negative of others. And we know it's out there, and we know really we see that it is just getting steadily worse. We have to maintain the positive, even as people maybe are spreading tales, as we say, gossip, what have you. You either, in your discretion, maybe refute it, or just simply get away. Don't participate. And then we have Proverbs 27, once again, verse 17. We've heard this many times, and we use this for the men's group. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So the idea, once again, of sharing positive words. We, here at church, we share positive words. We talk of God's word being full of positive. Now we're going to talk about discretion. The idea, again, in all of these things, all of these topics really tend to overlap. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. And this being saying a prudent man conceals knowledge, sometimes, once again, it's best to keep your mouth shut. You may know things about a situation, and they may be negative things, and they won't help the situation. So the idea is, keep your mouth shut. You don't have to add fuel to the fire. Even if you think you're just adding information, you don't need to add fuel to a fire. Don't even call it innocent comments. If you should be using discretion, that if there's a possibility that something you will reveal will make a matter worse, then don't do it. Keep your mouth shut. Jump down with me to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. So again, the idea of every one of us is made in the image of God, and we see lots of things happening. We see people doing bad things, and yeah, there is the idea of being punished for things, but the idea of we're not to add to it, we're not to make a situation worse, maybe we're not to gloat over something that happens to other people. Because again, we're told made in the image of God, but yet we are all flawed human beings. We all struggle with different things. So we're not to look at other people's calamities and take any kind of pleasure in that. Please jump down with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. So once again, the idea of discretion, the idea of when you come across a situation that your discernment would tend to indicate to you that you're just going to make it worse. If you say something, if you add to it, then don't add to it. Don't say anything. One more idea. We'll talk about, in a sense, the value of our words. Please turn with me to Proverbs 20. And again, the idea of words used properly. Proverbs 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So it literally puts value on the idea of how we speak, on how we present ourselves. Our words are very powerful. You know, we hear sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And yet we know that's not true either. We know we are affected by other people's words. Our words are powerful. And we're told in God's word to be very careful in the way we use those words. Once again, God gives us contrast of our words in both positive and negative. And as I say, you could research this a whole lot further. This is just, again, another overview of the idea. You can search through God's word, and he talks a lot about, this is God's words talking about our words, and it's in many places. We're to be positive and encouraging in our discourse with everyone we have contact with. Not just within the church, but when we're out in this world, we're to be setting the right example. We're the ones to be giving positive responses, maybe even trying to quash rumors, things that happen where you work or wherever you deal with people. It's up to us to try to steer things in a positive direction. This is one of the responsibilities that we're being given. We're to set the right example. We need to attune ourselves to the positive in our actions and our words.